In recent years, within the Catholic Church, there's been a large drop in religious vocations. Among Catholic nuns, for example, there are more women over the age of 90 than under 30. Supporting this rapidly aging population is as pressing a concern as bringing young women into the convents. Mary Beth Kirshner has this report on the future of nuns in America.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
It was the hour for the recitation of the rosary when I visited the convent of the Benedictine Sisters in Lisle, Illinois, just outside Chicago.
And lead us not into temptation.
20 frail, elderly women had gathered for this daily ritual in a sparsely furnished television lounge of the convent's infirmary. The weakest were in wheelchairs. Most still wore pieces of their old habits, usually a veil.
This is Sister Loretta.
Hello, Sister Loretta.
I came here when I was 12 years old.
And she's still very active.
Yeah, and I'm an old lady now.
These and other nuns of their generation represent a bygone era. 60, 70 years ago, these women entered the convent in large numbers, early in life, and committed their lives to doing what they believed was God's work, ministering to the poor, nursing, or teaching.
This is Sister Immaculate. She was principal of the academy here for many years. She won't be able to hear you.
I can't hear.
I know. Can you want to tell her anything about when you used to be principal? What was your favorite thing?
My favorite what?
What was your favorite thing when you were principal?
The fact that I could work with the girls.
You were my principal.
Is that right?
That's right.
Prioress Sister Judith Ann Hebel, at age 53, is considered a young nun by today's standards. The average age among Catholic sisters today is 69. She first came to the convent to attend an all-girls high school that the sisters ran. She never left. These women were and continue to be, she says, her inspiration.
Sister Lewis Mary. She's our little wisdom
Thank
box.
Thank you for coming. I love you.
Even in their 80s and beyond, many of these women are still working. As Sister Judith Ann reminded me, you don't retire from religious life.
Where do you work?
I work in the altar bedroom now, but I just started a couple of years ago.
Tell her.
These Benedictine sisters run an altar bread business, which supplies churches all over Chicago. Their girls' school is now closed, and a sizable piece of the empty school building has been turned into a retirement home for lay people. The sisters operate it to supplement their income. As numbers dwindle and the older sisters become less able to pitch in, their most recent entry is in her 60s, resources are looking scarce in all quarters, cause for many a sleepless night.
I have done a lot of praying about that at night. You know, in the past we had money, we had numbers, we had buildings, and now we don't have that. We could control a lot of things in the past, and now I think we're being asked to let God control.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Oh, so good to us.
Catholic sisters were my teachers in grade school and high school. While helping the sisters after class or with chores at the convent, I could catch glimpses of daily life, of their unadorned single rooms. The sisters drove a rusting but reliable car. They led simple lives, but never appeared to be wanting. Yet there were financial realities at the time which were little known. 30 years ago, the typical Catholic nun was paid $50 to $100 a month. Most got by on that, but it was not enough to set up a retirement fund. They had none.
A lot of my gray hairs on my head are due to the fact of the struggles to try to enhance the compensation of women religious, both in our own diocese and around the country. It was hard to make the case to the bishops, who were the ones who controlled our salaries, basically because the bishops don't have to go shopping and so on.
Sister Amata Miller is an economist and chief financial officer at Mary Grove College in Detroit.
If you work for the diocese, as you do if you teach in schools, for example, The bishops are the ones who set the salaries, as they do for other employees. And there was always this sense that the sisters should be working at less than lay people should work at. The arrangement was a parish would provide housing and transportation for the sisters, and the people in the parish would have pantry showers, etc. And the sisters would get a minimal amount of salary for teaching in the schools. We began in every diocese and through the national organizations of women religious to try to convince the bishops that this was a matter of justice, that we had to be compensated at a higher rate, that the old system was no longer going to work, and that a crisis was going to be looming.
The crisis has been acknowledged in recent years by the church hierarchy and by independent sources, too. A recent study by the Arthur Anderson accounting firm estimated that if you totaled all the property that religious orders own, schools, hospitals, and all their assets, they would still need an estimated $6 billion to care for their elderly. And the gap grows by $200 million a year. In response, the church has instituted an annual collection, the Retirement Fund for Religious, priests and nuns, which raises about $200 million. It's not enough to make a dent in what's needed.
Sexism exists in the church as it does in the world, and so the men religious were always able to, for some reason, a combination of reasons, the men religious were always able to get higher pay, even if they were teaching in schools, than the sisters were. Usually the men's communities are better off financially than the women's communities. Another factor is that men don't live as long as women do. You know, you wouldn't call it an adulterated positive factor, but it does diminish the financial problem for them.
Concerned lay people have come forward to form groups like SOAR, Support Our Aging Religious. Yet their limited funds, about $2 million, permit them to support only the neediest of cases. Frank Butler is a founder of SOAR.
We've had a lot of stories that the sisters probably wouldn't want to talk about, but as lay people, we feel that the public ought to know about them. We had a group of sisters, and I won't mention states or names, but a group of sisters who's one of the members of this small convent died, and they didn't have the money for the funeral. So they went to a bank, and they borrowed the money for the funeral, and they could not pay back the loan.
You are my shepherd, O God. There is nothing I shall want.
Across town, there's a second Benedictine convent in Chicago which operates independently of the sisters in Lisle. Yet their struggles are similar. Sister Mary Bennett McKinney is the former prioress of the community.
I think what people have a tough time understanding is, you know, were you just bad business managers? You know, why don't you have enough to care for these folks? And I always say it isn't that we didn't manage our money well, it's that we didn't have any money to manage. We were paid so poorly that we had nothing to put aside. You know, should we have been smarter and said, now, wait a minute. Well, yeah, probably by hindsight we should have been, and if we'd have raised some cane then. But face it, women didn't raise cane in those years. And who had any idea that you would come to a time in history when there wouldn't be a whole horde of young people that would at least be earning enough to keep the cash flow going? See, that's the hitch now. You don't have that anymore. You don't have the large labor force, nor do you have the security of having put money away for retirement when you had the large labor force. And I really think that's what people don't get.
I'd like to thank you all for being here tonight. Our Development Council is very important to the community, composed of leaders in the Chicago area who have graciously offered to help the sisters.
Sister Mary Bennett and other women leaders in the church have begun soliciting help beyond the church collections by hiring development officers to raise funds for their communities.
We count on you for helping us with planning, for helping us with resources, for fundraising, with ideas for fundraising, and with some...
I finished high school here in 1935. And I wasn't the nun type. If there is a nun type, I wasn't it. And as you see, I'm still here.
Sister Catherine Lynch, at age 78, is about to celebrate her diamond anniversary as a Benedictine. Sister Catherine has been one of the most influential fundraisers in the convent, raising most of the money for the infirmary. She got into fundraising quite by accident when she broke her leg and had to step down as high school principal. Fundraising was an appropriate desk job while she recuperated. It wasn't until her first foundation visit that she realized her gift for development.
And when they saw me come in, just open the door, and they saw the white hair, the long cast up to the hip, and crutches, they looked at each other as if to say, "Dear God, but these Benedictines must be hard up. Look what they're sending out." And, you know, an affliction for someone in development work is wonderful because it's a way of remembering you.
The bottom line is Catholic sisters are expected to be financially self-supporting. In today's tough times for many sisters, there's been cause to re-examine some of the basic vows which they took upon entering religious life, in particular, the vow of poverty. Is this what that vow meant?
Now, when we're faced with needs, it's like, whoa, I'm not sure we even have a theology of poverty that helps us understand that. And that's one of the things I struggle with all the time. You know, what does that vow mean? Maybe it means I continue to figure out how we're going to pay the bills, what we're going to have to sacrifice in order to do that, how we're going to have to be in debt. You know, so how many people in this world are not in debt?
Middle-aged Catholic nuns like Sister Mary Bennett are no different from anyone of her generation faced with caring for aging parents, shouldering the burden of their retirement or health care. Except Sister Mary Bennett has multiple mothers to take care of in the convent. It's not uncommon to see an 80-year-old sister pushing an 85-year-old in a wheelchair.
In all of the discussing and all of the struggling to figure out how to do it, you can't give those women the idea that they're the problem. But it's easy for them to interpret it that way. Well, if we just all die, the rest of you would be fine. You know, they've got to understand that they're precious to us. And that we want to give them the best possible care we can give them. They're not the problem. They're the people who built this place.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
I'm Mary Beth Kirshner.
Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.